started out before I even left, you know, God doing some things in my heart. And the night before I left, Charlie was supposed to call me and make sure that all my airplane, you know, the plans or whatever, you know, were okay and everything, because his leader was supposed to be meet me at the airport. Charlie was already going to be out in the village. And that night when I tried to call him, he wasn't there and he was supposed to be. And so I started getting really worried and I started crying. My mom was like, oh no. She said, Courtney, she started praying for me and stuff, and I was still worried. And I was like, Mom, I'm just not going to go if I can't talk to him. And she was like, okay, give me your plane ticket. I said, no, I'm going to go. And then, but I still was really worried, and I know that's Satan, and I have a problem with worry and a lot. And so my mom prayed again over me. And the next time she prayed for me, she said, Courtney, God's going to keep putting you in less than perfect situations until you learn to trust me, or until you learn to trust him. And that was true. And, you know, well, Charlie ended up calling that night, and everything was fine. And the next day, when I got on the plane, the next morning, right before I left my mom, I came downstairs, and she said, Courtney, she said, your plane's been delayed by about 3 hours because of the weather. I went, okay, does Linda know? Linda's the lady. And so mom said, just kidding. That was just a test to make sure you're trusting God. And I really didn't trust him yet because, you know, at that point, I still had my mom there. I was still at home. I still had 2 feet on the ground. And so I was okay. And then when I got on my plane, it was, you know, a couple minutes late, and I was like, that's okay, because my mom's still there, and she can see the plane that it's late. In case it's too late, she can call Linda, and everything will be okay. So we get to Texas, and we sat there in the plane for about 30 minutes, and I was going, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, and I started getting nervous, and then I remember what she said, Courtney, God's going to keep putting you in less than perfect situations until you learn to trust him. And I just got the biggest peace, and I was just like, I know everything's going to be okay because I know that God is not going to send me anywhere where he hasn't already equipped me, and, you know, where he doesn't have his hand on me. So I just had a peace about it, and I went on down, and everything was fine. Linda waited there. It was about 45 minutes late, but she was there. And God used that already before I even got there to start changing my heart about some stuff and just learning to trust him. And then, now when I got down there, before I left, you know, well, y'all know that God's called me to the field, but I still worried a lot about, you know, being provided for while I was down there and just not having, you know, what I needed. And that was always just a big thing for me. And when I got down there, my heart just changed so much this time, especially from last time, because last time I went to Guatemala, I was still that way. And I don't know if it was just being young or being immature in the Lord or whatever, but this time when I went down, my heart was changed so much. And I know it's because that's where my heart is in Guatemala, and I even miss it. And I mean, I'm not going to lie and say, well, it's not because Charlie's not there, because I do miss him, but you know, I really do miss, you know, just the fact of being there, because I feel like that's where the Lord's called me. And I want to share something about Charlie now. Y'all know that he's there and that what he's doing isn't, you know, the most glorious job. He's down there just kind of helping anyone who needs help. And, you know, the doctors and the surgeons are the ones who get most of the glory. But while he was down there, they some guys, they saw him and some of the doctors and nurses playing a basketball game, and they asked him if they would play in a tournament. And so Charlie was all excited, and they said, we're going to be playing for a trophy. Well, Charlie had it all planned out. There's an anesthesiologist down there, and he was 6'4", and Charlie was trying to get all the tall doctors and stuff. And they had, you know, a really good team set up. But they all ended up having to do surgery, all the tall ones, that night. So it was a bunch of girls and Charlie and this really uncoordinated guy. And, of course, I can't play, so I was just watching. But they all went and played, and they ended up losing against the Guatemalans. But Charlie, they still presented him with this trophy because he played really hard and he did a really good job. And God used this just to show me, and I brought it to show y'all just so y'all could kind of have a memory in your head, a visual memory. But it was just kind of the whole thing of seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And for Charlie, you know, basketball is something that he really loves, and that was one of the things that I got to see God add unto him while he was down there. And that was just neat for me to be able to see that. And God's done a lot in Charlie, and I can't wait for him to get back and share it with y'all, because I can see a lot of changes in him. But overall, the trip, one of the things was, last time before I went to Guatemala, I was kind of expecting, you know, okay, what's going to happen for me? What neat things am I going to be able to see? And this time before I went down, I was just, I don't, because Charlie had told me a lot of people weren't saved, you know, or they were just down there trying to do good works or whatever. And so this time before I went down, I was just kind of expecting to be a help and be able to see Charlie. And But God used it to just really change my heart about a lot of things and just to be able to see stuff in a different way. And so he did abundantly above all that I could ask or think on this trip. And just with the Guatemalans, being able to see them and the way they don't worry about anything. You tell them you like their shirt and they'll give it to you right there and just say, here. And one lady, she was in the kitchen and you know, some Guatemalans work in the kitchen, and I worked in the kitchen a lot, and she invited us to her house, and while I was there, she pulled out this red cloth that she had made, and she came and she set it down, and I was like, well, that's pretty. And I was talking to her, and she didn't know any English, so I was trying to do the best I could, and I realized that she was giving it to me. And that was so neat, because, you know, they don't have a lot, and you would, you know, we should be the ones to give, but it's the fact that they're giving, even though they don't have much. And that just touched me a lot, and just the way that, you know, they don't worry about what they're going to eat or what they're going to drink, or they don't worry about tomorrow. You know, they only worry, I mean, they don't even really worry about that second. That's something you can see in them. And God used that a lot to do that in me while I was down there, and he's still using it. And so I got a test tomorrow, and he's using that right now. But that's really all I wanted to say. It's not very much, but that's basically all I have to tell you.
Well, we're glad you're back safely, and we believed that you would be. Did God use you there, and that you'd be back safely?
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
Amen. Well, let's read this letter and see what Apostle Charlie had to say. Water of Life. Hello from Guatemala. I want to start off by thanking all of you as individuals and as a whole for your prayers and your support. God has heard them and I have felt them. Knowing that I have people back home praying for me helps me to get by through many tough times. Everything is going quite well with all the different teams coming to the villages in Guatemala. The only problem I'm having with them is that most of the teams are from up north and always make fun of me saying, y'all. Three or four of us come to the villages 2 days before the team gets here and clean the whole hospital. During the week, I bring people through the gate to see the doctors. I also help translate in the operating room and other places throughout the hospital and many other things. The last trip we had to Neba was the best and the worst. The worst because the last night we were there, a lady had a pulmonary embolus which caused her to have a heart attack. He's become medical already. He talks in these medical terms. Caused her to have a heart attack. The surgeons and the doctors rushed her to the operating room while we pulled out the anesthesia equipment out of the already packed trucks. While we were unloading the trucks, a man fell off of the dock and hit his head on the concrete and was knocked unconscious. Then while they were taking care of him, the doctors had to do CPR on the lady. She died around 9 o'clock Saturday night. The man who hit his head ended up walking around that night. We know and he knows that God was working there. It was the best trip because I saw God do a mighty work in my life with boldness and really making me a man of God. When times are rough, God used me in the way He wanted. And one of the scriptures God brought to me one night while we were in the village projecting the Jesus film on a Catholic church was, quote, "Not to worry about what we shall say, because the Spirit will give us the words," end quote. The reason I needed this verse was because I was the only one who could speak Spanish good enough to give a salvation call, and I was nervous. Charlie Swecker was the only one who could speak Spanish there. And so at the end of the film, he gave the salvation invitation. I love it. I gave it to God, and that night God used me to lead a lady to the Lord in Spanish. God has, you know, I think about this, and you know, we have a lot of Christian brothers and sisters who think that the purpose for the gift of tongues is for evangelism. And if that were the case, Charlie would speak fluent Spanish, wouldn't he, in a situation like this, because he obviously baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's really crazy what the devil has caused people to believe. God has used me in many other ways since I've been here. One reminder for y'all, everything that God is doing through me here, you're a part of. I could not be down here doing all of this without prayers and support from the family of God. When I get back home, I'll be able to tell you everything else God is doing in Guatemala. Thank you and God bless you, Charlie Swecker. Isn't that precious, huh? A letter from the field. Last night at the pregnancy care banquet, a young woman came up to me. I want to share this with you tonight because it's when I hear something like this, it speaks for the entire church. She's a woman probably 30 or so and married. And she's not part of our church here, but she was raised in the church. And she and her husband go to another local church. But she's when we greeted one another at the conclusion of the service, or the banquet last night, she said, "I just want you to know that that everything I know about the Lord and what I know of Him, not just what I know about Him, but how I know Him, is because of my experience at Water of Life." She said, I know I don't read my Bible. You know, people all feel like they need to make confessions when they see the pastor. I don't read as I should, but what I know about the Word of God and what I know about things of God, I learned at Water of Life, and I just wanted you to know that. And then she went on to say about the importance, and she mentioned her Sunday school experience, for example. And I wanted to share that tonight because some of you who are working in the program and you're teaching and you come every Sunday morning and you teach, there are those of you who work in the Wednesday night program and you come every Wednesday night and you teach, and you teach these children in these classes. And here's a young woman who's 30 years old who's in the process of bringing a family together. And she acknowledges that her spirituality and her relationship with the Lord have been determined by the people who ministered to her while she was part of this church. Now, I don't know about you, but it just encouraged me. This encouraged me. And if you're involved in some activity where you're ministering to children, young people, I want you to be encouraged too, because You don't know the contribution that you are making to not only an individual, but also to a family. And it may be many years. It's like raising your own children. You raise your own children. If you have a child who understands, who is grateful to his parents, you've got a wise child, and it's an unusual situation for a child really to come to you and say, "Dad, I just really appreciate the way you're taking care of me. Mom, I just really appreciate all the things you do for me." Those of us who have raised children realize that that doesn't happen very often along the way. And the same thing is true raising God's children, it doesn't happen that many. And when it does, it is really it's a blessing. And I just wanted to pass that along to you tonight. Anybody else want to share anything tonight? Anybody on your heart? Anything on your heart you want to share, Todd?
We were coming home from a basketball game in Columbus one night, and I, you know, Prince of Peace Lutheran Church is about the same size as this church. There's probably not really not a big difference in the number of them. So how do you do it? How do you have an academy, a school, a basketball game, all the stuff you have? It's different. It wasn't a dragon, a beast, a man, it's always been a given church. And I just believe from the bottom of my heart that the Lord is really gonna bless more of life in a huge way than it's been here. And I hope you accept that word. I hope you believe that. Not that you throw your chest out the wrong kind of cry, but that you throw your chest out and say, man, we're making a difference. We've made a huge difference in your town. So you had no reason to welcome me. Again, you had every reason. And I think it's really
Well, I know we all feel this way. If we can just touch individual lives, and if we can touch families, and we can make a change that's permanent and a change that lasts, that's really all we really want to do. That's the bottom line. Jesus said, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me. And that's what every community needs, is witnesses. It doesn't need religious people. It needs witnesses to Jesus. It needs people who really know him, and people who allowing him to work through them. And I just appreciate what you shared tonight. Thank you. Anyone else have anything you want to share tonight? Yes, okay. The old timers said, God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. David said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I like what David said. Amen. Anyone? Jesus. Lord God, we just love you tonight. We are unashamed, Lord, of our love for you. We just deeply treasure your person, Lord. We thank you so much that we can know you, not just know about you, but know you. So many just know about you, but you have revealed yourself to us, and that, as Todd said tonight, that doesn't puff us up, it simply fills us, Lord, with praise. It humbles us that you would allow us to know you, that you would open yourself up, that you would uncover yourself in the way that you have and declare yourself to us. We just appreciate that so much. The sweet ways that you manifest your presence to us, Lord, that we can really experience that. It's so good. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence in this place tonight. And thank you that you know, in some ways, Lord, it's the flesh revels in large demonstrations and rapid happenings and great situations, but we see that what you're doing in our lives and in our church too, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and sometimes we don't see as clearly what you're doing. I'm reminded, Father, that it's like watching a child grow. And when you see the child every day, you don't realize how he's growing. But then when you take him to see his grandmother, who hasn't seen him for 6 months or a year, and she says, wow, how you have grown. And sometimes, Lord, I think that's the way it is with us, that we don't see what you're doing in us. We don't see it in ourselves. We don't see it in each other. We tend oftentimes to see only the weaknesses and only the the failings. And of course, the devil magnifies those for us always so that we, to divide us and to produce strife. But tonight, Lord, we are encouraged as we just kind of take inventory and see that you are at work, and it's day by day and minute by minute, and that truly your will is coming to pass in us, that we are being conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus, that he is but the firstborn of many brethren, and that we do have a family resemblance, and that we are chips off the old block, as it were, and that with each passing day, we will be more and more like him. We will think more and more like him. We will act more and more like him. We will manifest the fruit and the nature of his character more and more each day. We resolve, Lord, to simply yield ourselves. We cannot conjure it up, and we cannot produce it, but we can make ourselves available, and we can yield ourselves. We can resist the devil, and he will flee from us. We can resist thoughts and cast down reasonings and imaginations that war against us and fight against the work that you're trying to do. And while we cannot do, only you can do it, we can certainly cooperate with you and be open to you and maintain the kind of openness that allows you to work fully and freely, unhindered and unfettered. We resolve to do that, Lord. We desire to do that. We pray for Todd as he goes to Toledo, Lord. We're disappointed to hear that he will be that far away from us. We just ask you to guide his steps, Lord, order his steps, that none of his steps will slide. You just open doors, Lord, that you want him to go through, and close doors that it would be a mistake for him to enter. While he's gone, Lord, guard his wife and his family and make provision for their every need. We know that you're able to keep what is committed unto you. And we know that that's what Todd will be doing, is committing them unto you in his absence. We pray for Charlie down there in Guatemala, and continue to lift him up to you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in his life. We know that the most important thing that happens in his life as well as in ours is not necessarily what we do, but what we become. And the most important thing that's going on in Charlie's life is not the boxes handling and not this on, but it's what you are accomplishing in his life. It's the nature of Jesus that is developing in him. We know that is your primary objective there, and this ministry in Guatemala is simply the tool and the environment that you're using to accomplish that. We see what you're doing in part, at least. Let's rejoice with her, Lord, as we take note of what you have done and are doing in her, for the way you have deposited in her heart this love and this passion for missions and this compassion for the lost and for the less fortunate. And among us tonight there are many, Lord, in whom you have deposited a portion of your concern and a portion of that which you want done. I'm thinking of Anita Thompson here tonight and Dana Thompson. And they come to mind only because they have a desire to work on the foreign field, to take Bibles and what have you. But in this congregation tonight, there are lots of other folks who are working in their neighborhoods and who are working in their schools and who are working in their offices and their plants, and they are no less significant in your scheme of things. They're no less valuable, no less important in the work of the kingdom of God. They're just less dramatic and less noticeable and less apparent. But we want to lift all of our brothers and sisters up to you, Lord. We pray for those that are seated around us tonight, Lord, and ask you that you would strengthen each of us in the power of your might, and that you would continue to give your angels charge over us and all that we do, that we not stumble, that we not dash our foot against a stone, that doors will be open for us, doors of ministry and doors of service, and that you will show us minute by minute and day by day how you would have us to live. We're grateful for what you're doing in our lives, and we thank you so much, Lord, for this time tonight to be led beside the still waters and to have an opportunity to express out of our lips the melodies that have been turning around in our hearts. Make melody in our hearts unto you. You are so good. We love you so much. We just have this tremendous desire to serve you and to hear from you when it's all over. Well done, our good and faithful servant. Now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just commit ourselves to you, and we commit our days to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.